Welcome to Voting Matters, a series of conversations about the voting process from WUKY and the League of Women Voters. Now, here's your co-hosts, Liza Holland, president of the Lexington chapter of LWV, and WUKY's Alan Lytle.
Voting Matters time once again. I'm Alan Lytle. Liza Holland is my co-host and a partner in crime. How are you doing today?
So great to be here, Alan. Thank you.
And this is our second, I believe, of the new year. And this is a pivotal year. We always say this, of course, about elections. And every election is important. But this one, really important. And it's coming up.
Absolutely. Quicker than we even realize. And there's lots and lots of energy around it already.
And we'll be getting to our guests here in a minute. But, maybe for the folks who have downloaded this podcast for the first time, let's explain the concept of Voting Matters.
Absolutely. Voting Matters is a collaboration between WUKY and the League of Women Voters of Lexington. And our purpose is to inform the public. We're leaning in on civic education this year and also making sure that you are empowered, know how to vote, where to vote, be informed about the voting, and all that kind of good stuff.
We don't care who you vote for. We do care that you do vote and that your vote is an educated one.
Absolutely.
So let's get to our guest.
We are so excited to have Lily Bramley and Megan Gulla from Civic Lex with us here today. And Lily, I want to start with you because you have been heading up a really neat new initiative called Civic Assembly. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so Civic Assembly is basically bringing together a randomly selected group of community members to dig into like a big local issue. So over several days, they will learn from experts, hear different perspectives, talk things through with one another, and then create thoughtful recommendations for how things should change. Participants are also compensated for their time, and there will be trained facilitators to help guide the conversation so everyone feels heard and supported. These have been done throughout the world, and Lexington is actually having its first ever civic assembly here.
That is so exciting. And the way that you choose the members is a little bit different. And it's really trying to make sure that we don't have all the usual suspects.
Yes.
And so tell us a little bit about how you went about that.
Yeah. So we have 36 community members, and they were chosen at random based off demographics across Lexington. So that included like age, race, education, home ownership. So everything kind of under the sun, really. And we wanted to make sure that it was completely fair, too, so that way you could get people who weren't always involved in politics or involved in, like, local things in the community to get them part of this, too.
So yeah. What kinds of questions or issues is the Civic Assembly going to address in this way?
Yeah, so we have two main topics that we're going to address. One is compensation for our council. And then the other is going to be how often should we review the charter? So,
and that charter, of course, is the one that made the Urban County Council possible, correct?
Yes. Yeah. So that it was formed in, I believe, 1976. And basically, yeah, it formed together the Urban County government and then the local city government together. So.
You know, Civic Lex talks a lot about strengthening the civic culture. How do you think that the Civic Assembly accomplishes that?
Yeah, I mean, the Civic Assembly is something that's really special. It's bringing together community members from all across Lexington. We have two people representing from each district, as well as a student who I believe is 16 who will be representing. So what's really cool is that we get people from all over the community to meet with each other, to build relationships with each other. I think one of the big goals for civic assemblies across the board is friendships. So just getting to talk to people from across the aisle, from all different backgrounds, and just building our community even more.
And what physical space are you going to use this with?
It's going to be at Transylvania University in the William T. Young Conference Center, and then also in the Cowgill Building.
You know, yeah. I got a chance to participate in kind of the test drive in the fall, and the deepness of the dialogue amongst the participants was really striking. And I think this goes a long way in helping us to pull forward the best of democracy, which is really, you know, government by the people, for the people. What kind of discussions have you had with the council? Because obviously they're the final decision makers. Will you get to present to them? Do they look to intend to really put some weight on what these folks have to say?
Yeah, so they have already put forth that they will participate somewhat in this. So being able to come and attend some of the days where we have the 36 community members, but also they have agreed that they will not only look at what they present, but also make a call either yes or no on how they feel about it to potentially go on the ballot.
We've made this point. There have been several council members that have decided to step down or not run for re-election because of this compensation issue. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, to be completely honest, we had a lot of topics. So we actually did a topic survey for the community to participate in. And we had over 850 people actually take that survey, which was really great. But we had topics ranging from not only compensation, but also things like term limits, charter review, whether or not there should be public engagement in that. And based on what we saw in the votes, it was actually quite interesting. People really, really did want charter review every so often. And then something that was completely opposite, and there was a lot of kind of discourse around, was compensation. So that was actually how we ended up choosing that.
Fantastic. Well, is there anything that we have not talked about the Civic Assembly that our listeners ought to know?
Yeah, so just so everyone knows, they are more than welcome to come to the Civic Assembly. Basically, you can be a part of it and sit and be in the audience. And later on, we're hoping to get public comment as we go along in the Assembly. So if you want to actually be a part of this, watch it. You can come in person or we're going to live stream it.
How often are you guys going to get together?
So we are going to get together 6 times over the month of March. Potentially, there are 2 extra days, though, just in case we want to keep going.
And people can go to the Civic Lex website or the League of Women Voters of Lexington website for all that information as well.
Yep. So thank you guys so much for letting me speak.
Oh, it's a pleasure having you here today. And now we also have Megan to talk to.
Now we get to go to Megan Gola. We got together earlier this week and we thought that, you know, really leaning into this civic education piece is very much the bailiwick of both the League and Civic Lex. And so thought that we might start just talking about primaries and what they are and why they're important. So I'll toss it to you, Megan.
Sure. In Lexington, as in, you know, national elections, we have a primary, and that's an election that takes place months before the general election in November. So for us, for everywhere, it's in May. It's May 19th. So that is the day that we will be voting on the candidates that we'll see in the general election. So for a primary, there will often be more than the amount of candidates. That's the point of a primary. There are more than the amount of candidates than can be on the ballot in the general election. So we're voting to narrow that down. And in Kentucky is one of the states that has a closed primary, which means that you have to, you can only vote for the party that you're registered in. So in Lexington, we have we have 4 offices that have primaries for the Democratic Party. So if you're a registered Democrat, you'll be able to vote in those. If you're a registered Republican or an independent, you won't see those on your ballot. You won't be able to vote for those. So that's something to keep in mind when you're thinking about registration. The voter registration deadline for the primary is April 20th. So just if you're thinking about, like, oh, I really want to vote in that county commissioner race for the Democratic ticket, make sure you're registered for the correct party so you can vote in that race. That's a little bit about primaries for me.
Yeah. I think the only thing that I would add to that is that unfortunately for Kentucky, if you are already registered, the deadline for changing your party has passed. They make that pretty early in Kentucky. No, it's just something that that's just a little bit different. And so you have to vote with whatever you were registered as by December 31st. But it's very interesting to me. The whole primary system is independent parties choosing who their candidate is going to be, right? And yet the taxpayers are on the hook for it. And why do you think that primaries are so important for people to actually get out and vote in?
We always say that it's about representation and participation. The primaries are a time where a lot of people don't, like, people aren't thinking about them, and voters really don't participate that much in primary elections. So when you're thinking about the candidates who are going to represent you, it's really, this process starts with the primary. And if we're not participating and we're not choosing the candidate that we want to represent us, then the candidates that are making it to that final general election aren't the candidates that maybe would represent us fully. So we really want higher participation in the primaries. We want more candidates in the primaries. So if you're thinking about running for office, please, like, go out and do that. We need more candidates running. But yeah, it really is all about just, like, who is representing us and who is going on into those offices in the general election.
And we have some candidate forums that are becoming up prior to this.
We're in the process of scheduling them. We're looking at late April, like the last Wednesday in April and first Wednesday in May. So just kind of getting to the end of this primary season, hoping to keep things fresh in people's minds. So we're in the process of scheduling those. Still need to, like, make sure the candidates are going to show up themselves. We've got a tentative location, so you can check back on lex.vote. That's our voter education site. We'll have a calendar there, so you can see what we have going on. And then we'll have some things in the fall as well for the general election. But I know League of Women Voters also has a lot of forums happening. So I'll throw it back to you, Liza, to talk
sure.
about those.
Yeah, for any of the contested races that on both the Democratic and Republican side, we will be hosting virtual forums. And so they'll be available on YouTube for everybody to watch and listen to. I know that Civic Lex is going to have an online voter guide, and the League also has an online voter guide. This time it's with Our People, Our Vote, which is a change for the League. But we definitely want you to be as educated as possible when you're going in to vote. You know, don't flip the ballot because I think I've heard of this person. Sometimes that's not a good thing. You know, you just never know. And so we're really going to be working together on some interesting opportunities to encourage people to vote together and encourage that community. We're talking about doing some voting parties as far as learning who to vote for, not to be told, but everybody gets to decide. And then maybe some collective going out together to vote early.
Yeah, an informed electorate usually does a better job of casting their ballot, correct?
Absolutely. Every time.
So what are some, what I would consider, like, common misconceptions that voters have about primaries that you want understood, Megan?
I think, like, what we've talked about, just that they're happening. I think a lot of people may not know that they're actually happening, or that that's something they can participate in. Again, with the voter registration, that deadline being in December, that if you're, you know, registered, you might not see, depending on who you're registered, which party you're registered with, you might not see some of the candidates that other people are talking about. So being aware of that, where to find information, candidate websites. Our websites, League of Women Voters and Civic Lex, both provide a lot of information, and then the forums and things like that. I think one thing we're watching this year, more that's coming down from a national perspective, is ID, voter ID. So far, it's, you know, what you normally take, like your ID, you know, just your regular ID, but that could potentially change. So I'm at least keeping a close eye on that. I'm sure you are too, Liza. And then, like, where you can vote, we're still going to have voting centers. So those are your libraries. We're really excited about that because it's just so easy. But you can also go to your precincts as well. If you want to look up your precinct, you can do that at the vote.lex or lex.vote site, or on the county clerk site as well. Those are the big ones, like where to vote, how to vote, what to bring. Those are always the big questions that we're trying to answer. How about you?
The only thing, that's a really good roundup, and the only thing that I would add there is that Lexington has a number of nonpartisan races that you can, if you are registered independent or for anybody, can go in and vote for those nonpartisan races here. which is nice because that means that there is no party affiliation and everybody can vote.
Yeah, the mayor and the council especially. That's and that goes back to the charter, mm-hmm. that all of those elections would be nonpartisan in nature. So mm-hmm.
we
good
really
on Lexington to do that, really.
Yeah. We really appreciate that because it takes a lot of the kind of like the just animosity that we see on national and state level in Lexington and changes the conversation completely. It's really refreshing.
Well, the only other thing I think we might touch on is the fact that you all do some in-person opportunities to meet candidates with meet and greets. We're mm-hmm. going to do those in the primary, or is that going to wait till fall?
Yeah, that'll be for the primary. That was like the forums, kind of mm-hmm. that conversation. Mm-hmm. But that's what we're planning is candidate meet and greets. So instead of hearing more of like a debate, we've found like our format niche is kind of this meet and greet format where candidates are there and attendees can just come and talk to the candidates and ask questions directly. So that's what we're planning. And we are wanting to do that for, again, whichever mayoral candidates we can get. They don't always show up, but we're trying to get mayoral candidates, the District 5 candidates, and then the county, like kind of down ballot county races. We're trying to get those candidates as well. So I think that'll be really great if we can get all of them, especially for the down ballot races. I'm always kind of interested in those because they're races that a lot of people don't know anything about. And it's hard to find information about the candidates a lot of times. So that's something we focus on of just provide information that's hard to get elsewhere and give people access to these candidates that they might not otherwise see.
The one other thing Megan and I talked about was that so many people don't necessarily know what some of these offices do. And so I think that you did a little research on county judge executives. Mm-hmm. Care to share?
Absolutely. Yeah, we figured we'll do, you know, we'll do a little segment for each episode and focus on some of these, you know, like down ticket races. So the county judge executive is, it's a 4-year term, and it's also a partisan race. So we have two candidates running for the Democratic primary. And in Kentucky, so Jefferson County and Fayette County are the two outliers where the, it's called the fiscal court. Fiscal courts are usually like the county judge executives are the leaders basically of the county. They're the executive branch basically. But in Fayette County and Jefferson County, since we have a merged city county government, the county judge executive and the fiscal court are not as important. We have a city council, a mayor, and boards and commissions that are making most of the decisions for the city, not the fiscal court and not the county judge executive. So this role in Fayette County is pretty reduced when you compare it to other counties. And we have two candidates in this race, Mary Diane McCord Hanna, who's the current current county judge executive. She has a background in property management, dental hygiene, and farm management. And then Sean Pickard has a background in education. He's been a teacher since 1999. So those are the two candidates, if you're registered for that race, that you will see on your ballot. And they both have some information that you can find online. Again, we're trying to compile more of that so it's easier to find. But in Lexington, like that job is mostly about levying the ad valorem or property taxes for the county for the public school system. So it's big on just like collecting the taxes for the public school system. They also work with the Department of Highways on construction and maintenance of rural roads. So roadways and things like that kind of out in the outskirts of the county. And they appoint one person to serve along with the county judge and the county attorney on the county budget commission. So those are most of their roles. That's pretty much all they do. They're prohibited from doing any other taxes. It's only those school taxes. And despite their name, there's no judicial connection. They're not judges or anything like that. So that's a little bit about that office, information that I didn't really know before I started doing this work. It's kind of nerdy, but I think it's good to know like what these offices are, what they do, when we're going in to vote for them.
Yeah, I always, you know, what is the soil conservation?
Exactly.
You know, there's usually like 5 or 6 on a ballot, mm-hmm. and these are names. And mm-hmm. I don't know what they do, but I got to pick one.
We'll cover that next time.
Yeah.
There you go. See?
And I would say if anyone's listening and they have questions like that, send it to us and we'll try to find the answers. But I think it's also a good way, you know, like this education component is hopefully encouraging people to run for office, because you might see that on a ballot and be like, I don't know what that is. That sounds, you know, really complicated and intimidating. But then once you know what these offices do, you might get a little bit of a push, be like, oh, maybe I could do that. Maybe I could run for that office. And then we get, you know, we get more candidates on the primary, and that's the goal.
I like it.
Yeah, I do too. Definitely. This is what this program is all about. Voting matters. It matters, you know, not who you vote for, but the fact that you do vote. You go out and you exercise that right.
Absolutely, your civic duty. Megan, is there anything that we haven't touched on that you'd like to share as far as Civic Lex is concerned?
I don't think so. Yeah, if you just if you'd like to learn more about all the things that we're doing, all of our voter education information is at lex.vote. And you might have seen our content in years past as Lex Vote. We've rebranded a little bit to Vote Local Lexington based on some work that we did last year. So if you see Vote Local Lexington and you're wondering where did Lex Vote go, it's the same thing. But our website is lex.vote. And we'll, again, we've got the candidate meet and greets coming up for the primaries. And then we'll do some like a big forum in the general election and a print voter guide again. So that's what you can look forward from us this year. And then we'll have the digital guide for the primaries.
When do you sleep?
I don't know. That's a good question. Also having like a 14-month-old, like not that often.
Oh, man. No, the point here is just there's always something to be done, to be accomplished in this, you know, in the civic participation side of things especially. Mm-hmm. And where would we be without Civic Lex?
Well, I tell you what, it has definitely amplified and lifted up our entire civic discourse. So it is such an incredibly valuable resource for us. The league considers Civic Lex our number one partner. We kind of try to provide the volunteers, and they provide all the amazing expertise and staff. And so it's worked out really, really well.
And what's going on with the league right now?
Well, right now, for those of you who have women that are important in your life, please make sure to take a few minutes to submit their story or your story around how they've impacted your life at Stand With Her Story. You can reach that at lwvlexington.com/her story. And it doesn't take very long. I actually submitted 5 last night.
Wow.
I've been putting it off, procrastinating. But it's really, you know, it's 250 words, and you can upload a picture or any kind of extra historical documentation that you might like. And this is a way that people who are important to you can live on in history here in Lexington at the Lexington History Museum.
And all of those names will be read at the statue later in March, I believe it is.
In March, yeah. International Women's Day, we're going to read the names of every woman who has been nominated, and it's not an award. It's everybody who is submitted will get in, and then we encourage all of our families to go to the Lexington History Museum, where it will live on indefinitely in a display there. So you can go in and type in Megan Gola, and there you are as part of history.
It's a tremendous opportunity to salute the many women in our lives that have made a difference. And what do you got to lose? 250 words. You can come up with 250 words.
You can do it.
Yeah, you can definitely do it. And the deadline for that, it has been extended before. Could it possibly be extended again?
Might possibly extend it again. We'll have to get back with you. Right now, it is February 15th. If I get some emails saying no, I forgot, maybe we'll make sure to take in some latecomers as well.
Procrastinators, be aware. This may be your last chance. All right, we're just about ready to wrap things up. Megan, you have a final thought?
Yeah, I do want to send give a shout out to my coworker, Haley Wortel, who has been working with me on all the election content. She's doing a ton of work, and she's amazing. She's designing the website and uploading a lot of the information. So I just wanted to make sure she's recognized and applauded for her work on this. And forgot to mention, we are having, it's called our Pancake Breakfast, coming up on the 21st at Woodhill Community Center. we're going to be, it's another event. If you went to or heard about the Join or Die film screening at the Kentucky last November, we're highlighting clubs again. So it's a big opportunity for if you're in a club to like come and meet other people in clubs, or if you're looking for ways to get involved in Lexington and meet people and just build, you know, make connections and build community, this is a great opportunity for it. So we'll have free pancakes. It's 9 to 11 a.m. We'll have a ton of clubs there and some activities. So it's fun for the whole family, but we really, you know, we're trying to get the word out and encourage people to come to that as well. And League of Women Voters is one of the clubs that'll be there, so we're really excited to partner again on that.
Oh, that's going to be exciting. You got the pancakes, you got the fellowship, if you will, the community, and it's all for free?
All free.
Oh, that's tremendous. That's great. Megan Gulla, Lily Bramley, again, thank you guys so much for coming in, taking some time out of your very busy schedules to talk about the things that are going on at Civic Lex and, of course, the Lexington League of Women Voters. And Liza, I know you never stop.
Oh, never. And we can always use more help. So please feel free to contact us and volunteer.
And we will see you next time on Voting Matters.
You've been listening to Voting Matters, a podcast produced in collaboration with WUKY and the League of Women Voters. Subscribe to our show wherever you get your podcasts, or download Voting Matters from the podcast page at wuky.org. We also have links from the organizations and guests mentioned in this program. See you next time for Voting Matters.